There are five reflections that the Buddha said to reflect on every day, whether you're lay or monastic, man, woman, child. Subject to aging. Aging is unavoidable. Subject to illness. Illness is unavoidable. I'm subject to death. Death is unavoidable. I will grow different, separate from all that is dear and appealing to me. And then the reflection on karma. I'm the owner of my actions, heir to my actions. Whatever I do for good or for evil, to that will I fall heir. We chant it here regularly at the monastery. It's chanted all over the world in Theravada monasteries. Here in the West, though, interpretation usually focuses on acceptance. Accept the fact of aging, illness, and death, and separation. Largely because our culture is so blind to these things, so resistant to these things, doesn't want to admit them. And a good part of wisdom is accepting them. That emphasis is on the first four. Often the modern Western interpretation of the fifth one is kind of ambivalent. To accept karma sounds like you're going to be accepting the fact that you're guilty of whatever sufferings you have in aging, illness, and death, which is not a popular teaching. And a lot of people actually don't accept it. They say that your pains have nothing to do with your karma. They're caused by other things. So the emphasis is usually on the first four, learning how to accept them. But that leads to just an embracing and the full knowledge you're going to have to let go at some point, kind of a bittersweet attitude. It's a nostalgic attitude. But it's not what the Buddha had in mind. After all, he didn't say that we reflect on these things for the sake of acceptance. He actually has two goals for us. The first one, he says, is reflect for the sake of heedfulness. Heedfulness means there are dangers. Recognize the fact that there are dangers, but that you can avoid the dangers through your actions. This is where the reflection on karma comes in. The first four reflections have to do with the dangers, giving rise to a sense of sangvega. But then the fact that we have our karma, that's power in our hands. We can do things so that we don't have to suffer from aging, illness, death, and separation. What this means is, when you reflect on the fact of aging, your body's going to grow weak. You need to develop strength of mind. There are the five strengths: conviction, conviction in the Buddha's awakening, conviction in the power of action, persistence based on that conviction to do what is skillful, mindfulness, concentration, discernment, qualities that develop from that persistence. These are the strengths you'll need that you can hold on to when the body begins to decay. So work on developing them. Ask yourself which one is weak in you and focus on developing that. If it's mindfulness, just learn how to keep reminding yourself again and again and again. You've got a topic of meditation. You know, just sit there and melt into it and stop doing things. You have to keep reminding yourself, stay here with the breath, 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 breath. Concentration, or trying to develop a broad sense of the body, but it's centered. However long you can maintain that, maintain it, then when you begin to fall away, we go back to it again. Just keep learning how to make this more and more your habitual way of relating to your body. As for discernment, one of the main issues in discernment has to do with the fact of illness. There's going to be pain. How do you relate to your pains? As the Buddha said, you want to learn to relate to them in such a way that they don't invade your mind and remain. So how do they invade the mind? Well, so the way you perceive them. So here again, you use the strengths, your strength of concentration to get a sense of well-being in the body. It's not the case that every part of your body is going to be in pain all at once. Find the parts that you can make comfortable. Focus there. Think of whatever good breath energy you can create there, or nourish there, spreading to the parts of the body that are in pain through those parts of the body, so you don't feel so threatened by them. You feel more brave in the face of them, knowing that if they get really bad, you have a place to retreat to. And finally you develop your discernment as to what perceptions you have around the pain, what ways of talking to yourself you have around the pain. One really bad one is thinking about how long the pain has been in existence and you wonder how much longer it's going to be. That's placing a huge weight on the pain in the present moment. Past pain is gone, so leave it. Future pain isn't here. Don't anticipate it. That's for the pain in the present. Is it the same thing as the body? Same thing as your awareness? We discussed many times the different ways of perceiving the pain, so you can see that the pain is one thing. Actually see it as one thing, and the body is another thing. Your awareness is something else. It has a lot to do with your perceptions. The perception that the pain is taking control of part of your body, or that the pain is a big solid block. You're going to get through that one by perceiving it as individual moments, and then perceive the individual moments as going away from you and not coming at you. In these ways you can use your discernment to lighten the pain. As for preparing for death, again, you're going to need all your powers, all your strengths, to be mindful as the process of death happens. But in anticipation, think about the Buddha's image of what happens at death. He says it's like a fire going from a house and going out to set fire to something else, clinging to the wind. Same way, he says, we cling to our cravings. So learn how to get your cravings under control. But where that fire will go will depend a lot on your past karma. This is why we make merit, practice generosity, and develop virtue, both for the happiness it brings in the present moment. As the Buddha said, these activities are happy in other selves, but also because they create good opportunities for us. So that flame, if it flickers out, will flicker out to, say, another nice house, rather than out to some forest someplace, where things get caught on fire and there's a huge conflagration. In other words, create good opportunities for yourself. Then use your discernment, all your strengths, to make sure at the very least that you go to a place where you can continue to practice. As for separation, think about the fact that there are many people you love. And when we leave one another, we don't want to leave with regret. So cultivate the Brahma-viharas and act on the Brahma-viharas. As the Buddha said, the way to develop a good sense of fellowship with the people you live with is acts of goodwill, thoughts of goodwill, words of goodwill. Goodwill, goodwill, goodwill. Make that your motivation in dealing with people, so that when the time comes to go, there's no regret. Because those are the regrets that are hardest, the ones where you actively did something out of ill will, or hurt somebody thoughtlessly. Develop a sense of shame and compunction, being ashamed to act on unskillful motivations, and just not wanting to cause harm, caring about the effect of your actions. So this is how you use your power of karma to develop the strengths you need. So when aging, illness, and death come, when separation comes, you don't have to suffer from these things. That's the Buddha's first aim for this reflection. The second, though, he says, is to reflect on the fact that you're not the only one subject to these things. Human beings are not the only ones subject to these things. Everywhere you go in the cosmos, every level of being, is aging, illness, death, and separation. And there's your actions. You go to other levels of being, they may be a lot happier, but they too will end. The problem is that many of them, because they are so happy, so pleasant, they make you careless. That power of your actions can turn against you. So that reflection, the Buddha said, should give rise to the path, to the desire to find a path out of all this. Because what causes aging, illness, and death? Well, birth. What is in the mind that wants to keep on taking birth? Look into that. Use the Noble Eightfold Path, starting with the right view and on to the right concentration, to figure out how you can get the mind not to want to keep on taking birth again. So we're not here just to accept aging, illness, death, and separation. We're here to use that fifth contemplation, the power of our actions, so we can deal with aging, illness, and death, be prepared for them when they come, so that we don't have to suffer. And ideally, we get to the point where we don't create the conditions to cause them to keep on coming. When you reflect in that way, then the reflection is really in line with the Buddha's aims and gives the best results of all. A mind inclined to the deathless. Because that's what the Buddha said. Ideally, the recollection of death should lead to the deathless. And it's through understanding these five recollections correctly that it can lead to that aim.